Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to CBS Eye on Veterans. I'm Navy veteran Phil Briggs. So it's 4th of July weekend, and while America's birthday parties might be smaller this year, due to the coronavirus, and to some degree, the protests seeking to highlight racial injustice in our country, there's one thing that's been going strong for 40 years, and that's the PBS TV special, A Capitol Fourth. So this hour, we're talking with some of the musicians who recorded performances for the show, and we're finding some interesting connections to our military veterans. My next guest is a guy who loves and supports our vets. He's donated, dedicated, and done USO tours for our troops. And as you'll hear, country superstar Brantley Gilbert gives it to you straight.
Welcome to the home of the hillbilly. Yeah, baby, it's a land of barbed wire, moonshine, whiskey.
Friend of the military and veterans everywhere, ass-kicking Brantley Gilbert. How you doing, man?
What's going on, brother? Appreciate you having me today, man.
First, I gotta ask, as we've all been in lockdown, and like, you're a musician, you creative types don't do well when you're caged. What have you been up to for this coronacation?
Man, actually, it's been kind of good to slow down. I've been able to spend a lot more family time than I would if I was out on the road 3-4 days out of the week. That being said, you know, I think my wife married me with the idea in mind that I'd be gone a lot. And she's an extremely independent woman, so she's probably ready to get my butt out of the house. But we've actually had a project, man. A lot of my band guys, a lot of my crew guys, even guys from Nashville have come down and helped me build what we're calling the dog house. It's just a giant man cave. The bus goes in. I got cars going in it, motorcycles. It's like a game room / showroom / shop. It's been a lot of fun, man. We're actually supposed to finish up today.
Wow, very cool. So it's like a giant garage, like the Garage Mahal.
There you go. I like what you did there.
That's cool. If I can ask, where do you live, or like, what state are you in?
I actually live in Georgia, and I moved to Nashville for about a year, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with the town and the people in it. I just, my wife's from around here. My family's here. And, man, all my brothers are here. These are folks that have known me before everything happened, man. And it's just been healthy for me to be around a crowd that kind of holds me accountable and isn't afraid to call me out. I feel like it just kind of keeps me grounded, man. And you know, home's home. And this is home.
And it's good to stay with your original friends, because I imagine if you try to pull the I'm fancy or something card, they're gonna say no, Brantley, shut up. You're just
real quick, like.
That's cool, man. Let's talk music. There's a new one out, and I couldn't help but notice how it hits bullseye for so many of us in America right now.
If you never had hard days, if you never had a heartbreak, never had more than you could take or carried away, life on your shoulders.
Tell me about where you were and how you wrote it.
For me, it's just, you know, about finding or even just acknowledging hope that's there. I feel like a lot of times, you know, there's hope within arm's reach, but we get so buried in the moment and in our own feelings that, you know, we may just look right over the top of it. But, you know, it's about taking the good with the bad and appreciating the bad that leads to the good. And, you know, but the story behind the song, I feel like, you know, the other writers on the song, the co-writers on the song, have amazing stories that go with it. Logan Moore actually got a call the night before the write about a family emergency type situation and brought the idea in. And while the song was being written, Jay Brunswick got a call about a family emergency and let somebody let him know that a family member had passed. And well, man, I'll tell you, this song, just real quick, is one of the coolest things about it to me is, I know when I've gone through some of my hard days in life, my pet peeve is for somebody to say, oh, man, I know what you're going through, or I know how that feels, or I've been there. And dude, we're all as different as our fingerprints. And, you know, for me, especially when it comes to veterans and active duty guys and girls, I would never in a million years say that. You know what I mean? Because there's no way I can fathom what you guys and girls go through. And I mean, I just have all the respect in the world for it. But, you know, this song is one that meets you where you are, kind of on your terms, you know. It's not preachy. It's not soapboxy. It's not anything that says, I know where you're at or I know what you're feeling. It's one of those things that just kind of puts a bug in your ear and lets you apply it to yourself and whatever your story is. No dream come true from the few that don't. You never find your way on a broken road. You never had hard days. You never had a heartbreak.
And I know that kind of helps augment your connection to the military and to veterans. And you've done a bunch of USO shows for troops in the past. Tell me about some of the friends you made or some of the experiences you had on the USO tours.
It's unbelievable. I remember my first USO tour. It was something we'd wanted to do forever. And we went to Germany and Italy and Kuwait. And it was like we were so excited to be there. And it's just the most appreciative group of people you can work with. And you know, every time I've done anything involved with the military, it's been life changing, and it's been an experience that leads to another opportunity to help, and you know, just lend a hand or do whatever it is, whether it's time or money or whatever we can do to kind of pitch in and not do our part, because you know I didn't sign up and didn't pay my dues in the military. That's probably something, looking back, that I will always, I think, in the back of my mind, wish I had done something. So those things were not necessarily making up for lost time, but just trying to give back to the folks who have sacrificed so much for this freedom I've enjoyed. You know, we were building, you know, that barn, and the bar itself is actually a shadow box, and it's all the challenge coins and patches and medals that guys and girls have given me through the years. And you just don't know what to do with them because, you know, you didn't earn them. They were gifts, but I wanted to have somewhere where I could keep them, where number one, if I ever pissed anybody off, I knew where it was, I could give it back. But two, just something where people could, you know, look and ask questions and, you know, start conversations. And one of the things that's in there, there are dog tags and the metal bands, gone but not forgotten bands. And I have so many of them. And there's one, you know, or actually a few squares on the bar that have the 22 a day in there. And we put as many bands as we could fit in there. But I tell you, man, looking at them last night, it was like, you know, I was looking at some of the dates that people passed away or were taken or killed in action. And I was like, man, I wonder what I was doing on October 31st in 2006. Yeah, you know what I mean? I guarantee you I wasn't doing what this guy was doing. I know I wasn't. And whatever I was going through is just pales in comparison to that, you know. It's just kind of one of those things that puts it in perspective.
Yeah, man. And let me tell you, every time you look down, that's exactly what they would want you to be doing, is having a beer right there with them.
Yeah, man, I'm 21 guns blazing, and that's one.
I always think of my buddy Ronnie Wildrick, walked his last step in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, and I know that he would want me to be having that, and that's a cool way to put, you know, that bar together. I'll share with you a little fact. If you ever carry around one of those coins, or somebody happens to have one, if you have a higher ranking coin than someone that breaks theirs out, they got to buy the next drink. So put that to work the next time somebody's drinking at your bar. Tell them
I've heard that. Yeah. I got a SEAL Team 6 coin.
Oh, dude, then you trump just about everybody, man.
Awesome. And then I got a few that were given from commanding officers. Like, I won for a command sergeant major.
Yeah.
And I got one from a master chief. And then what was, there's one from
Joint Chief of Staff
that I have.
Oh, man.
It's pretty cool. So, man, it's cool to look down and see those and read them and find out what they are. And, man, they're all so unique in their own way. And I think what it represents is just incredible.
And we'll talk some more with country superstar Brantley Gilbert when CBS Eye on Veterans returns. Welcome back to CBS Eye on Veterans. I'm Navy veteran Phil Briggs. And we'll return now to our conversation with country superstar Brantley Gilbert. I recently talked with him about his love and respect for all things military, which is why he's performing this weekend on the PBS TV special, A Capital Fourth. We also talked about a combat veteran that became a good friend of his.
You got a Purple Heart from a guy named Staff Sergeant Justin Patterson. Tell me about your relationship with him and how you guys became friends.
Man, we did a Harley ride, and he was one of those guys, you know, we found out working with a lot of veterans that, you know, a lot of times you go out and they set these events up for these guys, and a lot of times their significant others and family members have to push them to go, you know, and he was one of those. It was a Harley ride, but he didn't really know what it was about, and you know, he had some traumatic brain injuries. You know, some of the stuff he deals with, man, it's just unbelievable. But his wife talked him into going, and he got there, and he said his side of the story. What he tells me, he said, man, I heard there was a country singer coming, and he said, I figured that, you know, you'd probably just ride on your bus and then get off and take a picture on the bike. He said, but, you know, I think he liked that I actually rode with him. I'm a biker or a motorcycle enthusiast at least. And you know, when we parked, we just hung out with him. And he thought that was really cool, and I guess he got to talking to some of the guys about some of the stuff that I've tried to do through the years. And I don't know what it was that led him to do that in particular, man. He's just an incredible guy. We formed a friendship, and I still talk to him at least a couple times a week. And just an amazing man. He's been able to use that platform. You know, that video went crazy. A lot of people saw it, and it gave him a platform, you know, to speak out and help. And I think it's been a little bit of self-treatment for him.
And it always makes it feel so much better to be doing it. I even know with this show, I mean, you know, I'm not half the warfighter that some of the guys I talk to are. But when I'm doing this and I'm able to elevate their voice, elevate their story, just as you kind of elevate things through your music and your exposure, it just feels good doing it, man. And I can't thank you enough. So never think you're not doing enough, man, because that's what it's all about. Do you identify with vets maybe because of some stuff that you've gone through? Because I wanted to ask you about this. I'd read once that you'd almost died in a truck accident when you were like 19 years old.
Yeah, it was a doozy. But man, I'll be honest with you, and this is just being completely transparent and honest, looking back on the things I've dealt with, whether it be that wreck or addiction or loss, to be hearing some of the stories that I've heard from veterans and from folks that are still serving, and it really does put things in perspective. And you know, we all have things that we go through. We all have hard days, not to bring up the song, but
yeah.
You know, again, man, it's hard to look at the battles I've had in my life and compare it to being shot at and fighting for my life every day. When I was battling addiction, you know, that was a war, but spiritual war for me. But you know, man, I wasn't getting shot at.
Yeah.
There wasn't there wasn't somebody trying to kill me every day. It was me, you know, I was my enemy. So.
And can I ask, when you were coming out of your addictions and such, what was it that snapped for you? What was it that snapped into place? Was it faith? Was it just wanting to be a better guy? Was it being a husband all of a sudden? I mean, because that's something that's not unique. That's something that we all share on this earth. You know, you don't walk out of here without some dents and dings, and trauma and drama affect everyone. What was it that kind of picked you up by your bootstraps and said, all right, Brantley, let's get back to right?
There are a few things, man. It was you know, one, I was raised to be a good husband and a good father at some point. And I wasn't anywhere close. That wasn't even in my peripheral. The things that I was concerned about, the things that I was doing, had nothing to do with either one of those things. And then my wife would never have come back in the picture if I was still hitting the bottle like it was my best friend. See. But it was that. There were some physical things, some medical things that I was kind of running out of runway on. You can only have so many doctors tell you, hey, if you don't quit, you're going to die before you go, you know, maybe I should quit.
Yeah, man.
But also just decisions I was making, I wasn't really proud of the direction I was headed in, and I knew it was something that had to change. And also some of the things where I like to be in control of me. And it was the one thing in my life when I got to a point, I was like, yeah, I need to cut this out. This isn't for me. You know, I can't handle it like other people can. I don't have an off switch. I think I'm a lot tougher than I am when I drink, a lot bigger. I decided to kind of put a nail in that coffin and couldn't physically. You know what I mean? It was just, it had become a physical addiction, and I didn't like the idea of something owning me, you know, and dictating whether or not I used it or didn't use it. And it was just time for me, and that was part of growing up for me. That was part of becoming a man, was, to quit numbing everything and address some stuff and make some changes so that I could be a better man for the people in my life. You say country folks can survive. Live a state, there's a station.
Playing cash, Hank, Willie, and Wade. Foreign calls and four. And that right there is something so universal. I can't thank you enough for sharing that, because there's a lot of people out there right now that are going to hear that and be like, yeah, you know what, that's me. And just on the other end of this phone call right now, the guy you're talking to, I've been there. It wasn't the military that got me. It was rock radio. And I got up in a bad way, thinking everything was a concert and backstage and the bands and the music and the life. And oh, good Lord. I hit the wall.
It happens quick.
I hit the wall hard, man. It wasn't pretty. All right, let's talk about some cool stuff. Lightning round really quick. You got a favorite rifle? You got a favorite gun to shoot? I know you like to hunt and shoot guns.
Yeah, my wife, our wedding anniversary is this Saturday. It'll be 5 years. And she gave me a Barrett 50 cal for a wedding present.
Ooh.
And that's probably still my favorite one to let go. You can't really make a habit out of shooting that one, because you run out of money. It's not cheap to shoot. And, if you shoot rapid fire with that thing, You know how it is. It's a pressure ranger. You catch a nosebleed door in a heartbeat. that's probably my favorite one to let loose.
Oh, that's awesome. And looking at your videos from your discography there, who's really a better shot? You or Thomas Rhett? Did you guys actually settle that score?
Oh, man, you know what? That was really funny. Of course, they wouldn't let us shoot live rounds for the videos, so... me and Justin were proud to let him take that with a pistol, but it was supposed to be funny. I think both of those guys could shoot. I don't know who's the best shot. I've never shot with them. I've seen Justin Moore kill deer from a long way away with a rifle, and hell, man, I wouldn't know.
That's awesome, man. Through the redneck grapevine, got a keg of beer and a bunch of girls. Show mouth gonna be a good time. And when it comes to barbecue, are you a smoker guy, or do you just grill them?
grill right now, but I do have two Traegers coming this week, so we will start the smoker world. I've learned to grill. It was something I used to do back when I was lifting really heavy. We used to cook steak or any kind of meat we could get our hand on every day, but I got out of it, you know, and got used to truck stop food when we were really road dogging it. So this quarantine has given me the opportunity to slow down and kind of brush up on my grilling skills.
That's awesome, man. Final thought. What are you hoping for the country right now? What are you hoping going forward in 2020? I'm damn sure hoping we get back on the road and get to see you guys, you know, in concerts and such. But, you know, we're dealing with some deeper issues. What's your hope for the future?
Man, I've been extremely careful about commenting on what's going on because some of the issues at hand are not things that I've experienced and I learned. And if you don't have firsthand knowledge of something, a lot of times you become more the problem than the solution. I know a lot of what's going on right now, people have voices that need to be heard. I hope that we can, you know, address some of the misplaced hate and get back to what it is that makes us love each other, man. I think we need to give this country back to God. I think we've tried to figure that on our own, and I hope we find the capacity and want to love one another and make our country better. I know you guys and girls didn't go overseas and get shot at and, you know, lose friends and folks for us to tear up here, to come back home to this. So I hope we can get it straightened up, y'all, sooner than later.
Right on. And I hope to be straightening it out and feeling that love, feeling that unity from somewhere in the crowd with a cold beer watching you rock out on stage. And I hope we get back to that real quick. Any guesses? Is the concert industry giving you any idea as far as like when, you know, we might go wheels up again and start seeing shows?
Man, I tell you, we have calls every day and you know, you know about the same thing leaving the conversation as you did going into it. I don't think anybody knows. There's so much information right now, but whether or not it's valid or whether or not it's something that's actually going to happen. Like right now, all I can do is try to put my best foot forward and be sitting on go. And, you know, that way when that time comes, man, we're ready to hit it. All wheels on the ground and all guns blazing.
Nice, man. Well, we look forward to that day. We appreciate everything you've done along the way, and your love for the military and the veteran family does not go unnoticed. Brantley Gilbert, country rocker superstar, and right now hanging out in the dog pound, in the dog house somewhere in Georgia. Appreciate the heck out of you, bud.
You got it, my friend. Thank y'all so much, and hope to see you soon, buddy.
Must be country wild.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.